نستغفره ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى: وخير هذه الأمة بعد نبيها أبو بكر الصديق، ثم عمر ابن الخطاب، ثم عثمان ابن عفان. نقدم هؤلاء الثلاثة كما قدمهم أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، لم يختلفوا في ذلك. ثم بعد هؤلاء الثلاثة أصحاب الشورى الخمسة، علي بن أبي طالب والزبير وطلحة وعبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد بن أبي وقاص، كلهم يصلح للخلافة وكلهم إمام. ونقدم أو نذهب في ذلك إلى حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنه، حيث قال: كنا نعد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حي وأصحابه متوافرون، أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم نسكت، ثم من بعد أصحاب الشورى أهل بدر من المهاجرين، ثم أهل بدر من الأنصار من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على قدر الحجرة والسابقة أولا فأولا، ثم أفضل الناس بعد هؤلاء أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القرن الذي بعث فيهم كل من صعبه سنة أو شهرا أو يوما أو ساعة أو رآه، فهو من أصحابه صلى الله عليه وسلم، له من الصحبة على قدر ما صحبه وكانت سابقته معه وسمع منه ونظر إليه، فأدناهم صحبة هو أفضل من القرن الذين لم يروه ولم لقوا الله ولو لقوا الله بجميع الأعمال. كان هؤلاء الذين صحبوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ورأوه وسمعوا منه، ومن رآه بعينه وآمن به ولو ساعة، أفضل بصحبته من التابعين ولو عملوا كل أعمال الخير. الإمام أحمد، may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, he brings to us a tremendous part and a tremendous section of his book, The Foundations of the Sunnah, that we encourage the brothers who are new Muslims and who are new to this class to purchase and to read. And this book is talking about the aqidah, or what the Muslims believe based upon what the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were upon. Al-Imam Ahmed said, and the best of this ummah, part of the belief system in al-Islam and the aqidah of al-Islam, is that you believe that the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and then after him Umar ibn al-Khattab, and then after him Uthman ibn Affan. And we give precedence to those three, just as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give precedence to them. The companions radiyallahu anhum never differed in that issue, that Abu Bakr was the best after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Umar, and then Uthman. He went on to say, and then after those three, the best of the companions are the five companions of the Shura, and they are Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Az-Zubair, and Talha, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Each and every one of them was fitting and appropriate for the Khilafah, and each and every one of them was an Imam by himself. Al-Imam Ahmed went on to say, in this regard, we take the hadith of Ibn Umar, The hadith of Ibn Umar says that we, the companions, we used to consider while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive and amongst us. We used to consider while he was alive and his companions were many and widespread. We used to consider and believe that Abu Bakr was the best, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And then after Uthman, we remained silent. We didn't say who was better after Uthman. Al-Imam Ahmed went on to say, then after the five companions of the Shura, are the people who fought in the Battle of Badr from amongst the Muhajireen. And then those people who fought in the Battle of Badr from amongst the Ansar, from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each of their ranks is according to his migration and his precedence in the religion. He went on to say, and then the most superior of mankind after these people are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the generation in which he was sent. Every single person who accompanied him, whether he was with him for 1 year or a month or a day or an hour, or he just merely saw him, then he is by this virtue a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. His companionship is according to the extent to which he accompanied him and to the extent to which he had precedence in being with him, heard from him, and looked at him. He went on to say, Ikhwan, so the closest of them in companionship to him are more excellent than the generation which did not see him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if they met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good actions. Despite that, those who accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him and heard from him, they are superior. And whoever saw him with his eyes and he believed in him, even if it was for only an hour, he is more excellent on account of this companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the tabi'een, even if the tabi'een did every action of goodness. So concerning these statements of Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu is a hujjah in and of itself that establishes that Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman are the three superior companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a number of reasons. When he said that we used to consider these people to be the best, it is a hujjah or an argument because, number one, they used to do that while the Prophet was living, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to say amongst themselves, as companions, Abu Bakr is the best of us. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to hear that. And then after Abu Bakr was Umar, and he used to hear that. And then after Umar was Uthman, and he used to hear that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is an argument and a proof because of the qa'ida or the principle that it is not permissible for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hear something or for something to take place in his presence and he remained quiet or silent about it. Anything that took place or that was said in his presence and he allowed it because it was the haqq and it was true. So that's the first argument of this statement of Abdullah ibn Umar. The second hujjah is that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum, they used to make this statement and they used to hear other people making this statement and they used to see other people making this statement and they allowed it to be said and to be made. So therefore that action of the companions is what? Is an ijma' or a consensus. All of them were in agreement upon this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in proving the argument or the watch al-istidlal, la tajtami'u ummati ala dhalala. My ummah will not come together and have an ijma' or a consensus on what is astray or what is wrong. So the companions min bab al-awla are the ummah more than anyone else. So all of these are arguments for this fact. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approached by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma. And he was asked the question, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabbu nasi ilayka? Who is the most beloved person to you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aisha. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and this took place after a war and he wanted to know who was the best and most beloved amongst him based upon what they had did in the war. He said, "أعني من الرجال." I don't mean from the women, I mean from the men. Who do you love more than everyone else? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "إذن أبوها." It is her father, that's what you mean. So this is another argument to show that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the best of this community after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now the strange thing, ikhwan, when we see how an issue this that's so clear and easy to understand is this, and yet we find people who Allah ta'ala has made it difficult for them to understand in spite of the strong arguments. Like the Shiite or the Rafida in particular. Those people who feel that not only was Ali radiallahu anhu better than everyone else, but Abu Bakr and Umar were criminals, they were deviants, and they were disbelievers. So all the time we find in the religion, like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to always make the refutation against people with the very dalil that they used to use. He will ask the person, "What's the proof that you're using for this or that?" When the person says it's proof, Ibn Taymiyyah would take that proof to show how it's a refutation against him. One of the refutations against the Shiite is a proof that is against them and is close to home. And that's what Al-Imam Al-Bukhari brought in his book in Sahih Al-Bukhari on the authority of Muhammad Al-Hanafiyyah, who was the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. And he's loved, honored, and respected by all of the Shiite. All of the children of Ali are loved and respected. One of the main ones is Muhammad Al-Hanafiyyah. Ibn Al-Hanafiyyah. Anyway, Muhammad Al-Hanafiyyah, he was the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he was called Muhammad Al-Hanafiyyah. And his kunya was Abu Qasim. So he was one of the people from the past who his kunya and his name took the kunya in the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Sammu bismi wa la takannu bi kunyati." Take my name but don't take my kunya. Take my name but don't take my kunya. Don't put them both together. Anyway, Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Qultu li abi, أَيُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَقَالَ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَبُو بَكَرٌ قُلْتُ لَهُ ثُمَّ أَيْ قَالَ ثُمَّ عُمَرُ قَالَ مُحَمَّدَ الْحَنَفِيَّةِ فَخِفْتُ أَنْ يَقُولْ عُثْمَانَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَقُلْتُ ثُمَّ أَنْتَ قَالَ لَا مَا أَنَا إِنَّ الرَّجُلُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah said, "I asked my father Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is the best person after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" His father Ali said, "Abu Bakr." His son Muhammad said, "And then who after Abu Bakr?" Ali said, "And then after Abu Bakr, the best is Umar." Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah said, "And then I was afraid that if I said then who, he would say Uthman. So I said to him, 'And then you're the best after Umar?'" Ali radiallahu anhu showing us his humility, he said, "I'm only a man from the men of the Muslims." So here we have Ali radiallahu anhu himself giving the superiority and the virtues to the Shaykhain radiallahu anhumah. The question now is, how was it that Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah was afraid that he was going to say Uthman after Umar? Why didn't he say Talha or Zubair? Because it was clear, it's another proof. As Abdullah Umar says, radiallahu anhu, "Kunna nu'uddu ba'da Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khayran nas fa dhakara thalatha." It was something that was well known, that they used to say this, that they used to consider Abu Bakr and then Umar and then Uthman. So Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah clearly was one of those people who was exposed to that statement. So he wanted to see if his father would put himself before Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Our mother Aisha Umm Abdullah al-Humaira radiyallahu anha, in proving the superiority of her father Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, she said, "Lam a'qil abawayya qat إلا وهما يدينان الدين، ولم يمر علينا يوم إلا يأتينا معه إلا يأتينا فيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طرف النهار بكرة وعشية. Aisha said, in showing the superiority of her family and her father Abu Bakr, I did not become a person who was cognizant, a mature woman, except that I found my mother and my father, both of them were on the religion. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not of the people who used to make shirk in Jahiliyyah. He didn't make zina in Jahiliyyah. He didn't drink khamr in Jahiliyyah. His money was all halal in Jahiliyyah. So he was already on the fitr when the dawah came to him. He just got with the program. Aisha said, I never saw my mother and my father except that they were on this religion. And there was not a day that used to pass us by. There was never a day that used to come except that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come and visit us in our home on that day. Every single day. During the daytime or the nighttime. No one else has that distinction with the exception of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So it's another clear proof that he is the best of the companions, and there are too many. So the point is, Ikhwani, that our belief system and our aqidah and the foundation of this religion is that we accept Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman as the best of the companions. And as it relates to the rest of the companions, we do not criticize them, nor do we have envy in our heart, hatred in our heart, rancor in our heart, enmity in our heart. We don't have any problem with them whatsoever. Anything you hear that happened from amongst them, we do not allow our tongues or our hearts to carry any ill feelings toward them whatsoever. We keep our tongues free of that and our hearts free of that. And the only thing that our tongues say is what? The religion said that we should say. Radiallahu anhum. May Allah be pleased with them. Well, Allah Ta'ala ordered us to say in the Qur'an, or gave us the irshad to say in the Qur'an, concerning the dua over them, when He Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, and this is what our tongue say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. We ask Allah to forgive us, and to forgive our brothers who preceded us in the faith, in the iman. Why is it that this is the position of the Muslim with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? By what right? Clearly, ikhwan, the ikhtisas that they had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is ikhtisas? With the fact that they were chosen, they were especially chosen to be his companions. They were selected by virtue of the fact that we have those at-tadhiya, or the sacrifices that they made for this religion. Any of us can sit here and think of a scholar that we know in Islam. A scholar that maybe we heard of, or a scholar that we know something about his history. Everyone heard of Imam al-Bukhari. Many of you know a scholar that you like, this scholar in particular. There's not a scholar in al-Islam who's a scholar except as a result of the fadl of Allah and what the companions did. How can a person be a scholar without the intercession of the companions, in that they transmitted to us and narrated to us everything about the religion? So they have that right over us, that we don't have these ill feelings towards them, and that we only make the dua for them when we say that which is right. Al-Imam Ahmed, after mentioning those three, he went on to say, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. نقدم هؤلاء الثلاثة كما قدمهم أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم ثم بعد هؤلاء الثلاثة أصحاب الشورى الخمسة. We put forth those three, and then after those three, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, the best from the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, are the five people of the Shura. The five companions of the Shura. Who are they? The five people of the Shura are Ali ibn Abi Talib, Az-Zubair, Talha, Abdurrahman ibn Auf,
and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and Imam Ahmed went on to say, all of them, those five, they were in and of itself capable and ahlin to be an imam and to be the khalifa. They are all imams, and any one of them could have been the khalifa of the Muslims. Any one of them could have been the khalifa after Uthman radiallahu anhu. The reason why these people were mentioned like this, these five people, and the reason why Imam Ahmed made this statement that he made here, that they all could have been the khalifa, and that they are all imams, for two reasons. The first reason is the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's been collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and other than Imam al-Tirmidhi, like Imam Ahmed, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. But for your information, Imam Ahmed has a book called Fada'il al-Sahaba, The Virtues of the Companions. In his book, The Musnad, him and Imam al-Tirmidhi and other Imams, they brought this narration on the authority of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah, wa Talha fil Jannah. Now pay attention to this. And Imam Ahmed, after Ali, he brings up Zubair. But the hadith said Talha instead of Zubair, and then the hadith mentioned as Zubair. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa Talha fil Jannah, wa Zubair fil Jannah, wa Abdul Rahman ibn Auf fil Jannah, wa Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas fil Jannah. The hadith went on to mention two more people. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa Sa'id ibn Yazid or Zayd fil Jannah, wa Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah fil Jannah. So Imam Ahmed didn't bring the last two, Sa'id ibn Zayd, nor did he bring Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, radiallahu anhum, and we're going to explain to you why. So that's the first reason that Imam Ahmed brought these people's names. The second reason is because we find that after the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, when Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed with the sword while he was about to lead the people in Fajr Salah. And this is the actions of the Munafiqeen, the Jubana. The people who are cowards, they always wait till a person's back is to him and then he tries to do something. He would never try to deal with Umar in the front and in his face. He waits until he gets into the Salah and a man is Mustaslim Lillah. He comes behind him just to give you an idea of the adawa of the people at that time to Al-Islam. He stabs Umar. Days went by before Umar died. He's not like one of us. The women of that time and the men of that time had different quwa than the people now. And that's why the Prophet can marry Aisha radiallahu anha and consummate the marriage when she's that young. They're not the same. The people are not the same. They're the same people, the same khalq, the same gents. But the quwa is different. Just like the woman who lives in the Badia, it's not like the woman who grows up with technology. They're not the same. They stabbed Umar. Days went by and Umar was drinking milk, and they saw the milk coming out of his stomach, and they knew Umar is going to die. There's no way in the world people live like this. So when he knew that he was going to die, he took from the people a contract, and he told them, I want these six people to choose from amongst themselves who's going to be the Khalifa. It's not a voting process. It's not open to democracy. It's not my son Abdullah ibn Umar. I want these six scholars to choose from amongst themselves who's going to be the Khalifa. And he mentioned those six people. And Imam Ahmed, he brought here five of them. He brought Az-Zubair, wa Talha, wa Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, wa Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, wa Ali, those five people. Along with them was Sa'id ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah was the only one who was in amongst them from the 10 people who were promised and given glad tidings of the Jannah. So that's the wisdom in the statement of Al-Imam Ahmed. All of them could have been the Imam. When they started to decide amongst themselves who would be the Khalifa, one of them would back up and say, I choose Ali. The other one would back up and say, I choose Abdurrahman ibn Auf. The other one would back up and say, I choose Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And then from amongst them, the other two backed up and Ali became the Khalifa. By the consensus of the companions, he was the Khalifa and he should have been the Khalifa. Just a few of them, like Muawiyah, a few of them were waiting to give him the bay'ah after the fitna that happened that we spoke about. Al-Imam Ahmed went on to say, in this regard, we take the hadith of Ibn Umar, that Ibn Umar said, we the companions used to consider while the Prophet was alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the companions were widespread, that Abu Bakr was the best, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then we remained quiet after that. There are other variations of this hadith. Here, Al-Imam Ahmed brings the statement, كُنَّا نَعُدُّ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَيْثِ وَأَصْحَابُهُ مُتَوَافِرُونَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ ثُمَّ عُمَرٍ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانٍ ثُمَّ نَسْكُتْ. Another narration of that also has been collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari is the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar, who said, كُنَّا فِي زَمَنِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا نَعْدِلْ بِأَبِي بَكْرٍ أَحَدٍ ثُمَّ عُمَرٍ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانٍ ثُمَّ نَتْرُكْ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا نُفَادِلُ بَيْنَهُمْ. He said, we used to, during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, not consider anyone equal to Abu Bakr. And then after Abu Bakr, we did not consider anyone equal to Umar. And then after Umar, we did not consider anyone equal to Uthman. And then we would leave talking about this issue with the rest of the companions, and we would not consider anyone better than anyone. Not Ali or anyone else. So even though Ali is the fourth Khalifa, they used to not consider him to be the best of the people. After Uthman, in spite of the many virtues of Ali. So this is the opinion, Ikhwan, and this is the madhab of the jamhur of the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this is our aqidah, and this is what we should believe in based upon these texts that we have been given from Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala. That what they do is they consider the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be best according to their position as it related to the khilafah of the Muslims. And their dalil, they are having the dalil based upon all of the things that we mentioned. There are some people from the ulama of Ahl Sunnah, and they are respected and bona fide scholars. They are not Shiite, nor are they deviant. They consider Ali radiallahu ta'ala to be better than the other companions because of the many ahadith that are talking about the virtues of Ali. And then we have other scholars from Ahl Sunnah who are mutawakifun. So there are three madahib of Ahl Sunnah concerning the companions. That the majority of them are of the opinion that the best is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. And then they were quiet. And then the second madhab is that Ali is better than everyone else because he was the first one to accept Islam. Alaykum salam. He was the first one to accept Islam. And on top of that, all of those ahadith that the Prophet ﷺ talk about his virtues. And then the third position is the position of those scholars who say we take the madhab of at-tawakuf. We do not say anything. ونحب أن نذكر إخواننا بحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تقديم حق في تقديم المسجد حقه قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد فلا يجلس حتى يصلي ركعتين وبارك الله فيكم يا إخوان. Anyway, إخوان, the point that we want to make now is this issue of whether or not this one is better or that one is better, especially as it relates to Ali and Uthman. This is from the issues that in reality, this is a foundation of the Sunnah, but the ikhtilaf that the people have in this issue It's not the ikhtilaf that a person will become a mubtadi as a result of it. Let's say that there is a scholar like Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, and other than Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, they felt that Ali was better suited to be the Khalifa, and he was more virtuous. If a person takes that position in the past, from the scholars in the past, now the Hujjah has been established now, if we find a scholar in the past saying that Ali is better than Uthman and more deserving of the Khilafah than Uthman, or Ali is better than Uthman, this is not an ikhtilaf in this principle that you can say that that person is astray. That's as it relates to the tafdeel of Ali and Uthman. But as it relates to the Khilafah of Uthman, it is not permissible for a person to have any ikhtilaf in that. If a person thinks that Uthman's Khilafah was batila, then that person is a mubtadir. He is astray. He's a deviant. Why? Because we have the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were on the scene at that time. All of them were mutafiqun that Uthman was the Khalifa and he should have been the Khalifa, and they recognized him as the Khalifa. So for someone to say now after them that Uthman shouldn't have been the Khalifa, Ali should have been the Khalifa, that is to criticize the Ansar and the Muhajireen bima la yastahiqu. So make that distinction, that the tafdeel or the ikhtilaf in the tafdeel doesn't make a person a mubtadir. But the ikhtilaf in the khilafah between Ali and Uthman, if a person feels that Ali was more deserving, then that person is clearly astray based upon the fact that there was an ijma from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imam Ahmed went on to say, Ikhwan, then after the five companions of the Prophet, the five companions of the Shura, the best people are those people who fought in the battle of Badr, the ones who were from the Muhajireen. And then after them, the people who fought in the battle of Badr from the Ansar. Each one's rank is according to when he made the Hijrah and when he came into the religion. So someone who made Hijrah during the first year of the Hijrah, he's better than the one who made Hijrah after 7 years after the Hijrah. Concerning this statement of Al-Imam Ahmed radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we shouldn't spend a lot of time, Ikhwan, in this issue about who's better, the Muhajireen or the Ansar, and then who's better after this one and that one, and then after the Muhajireen and the Ansar, who comes? We shouldn't spend a lot of time wasting time trying to figure that out. Number one, it's an easy issue. Number two, there are higher, loftier goals and issues at hand as it relates to the companions like following their atar. But even though we don't spend a lot of time wasting doing that, we don't waste a lot of time, we should recognize that there is some tafawut, that there is some distinction and differences between them. From the Quran and the Sunnah. From the Quran is the ayat in Surah Al-Hadid. In ayat number 10 where Allah makes the distinction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that ayat, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلَ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ وَقَاتَلُوا وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah Ta'ala said in that ayat, they are not equal. لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ. They are not equal. Those who gave فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ and they fought before the fatḥ. Allah went on to say, they are the ones who have the greatest daraja in their reward. And those people who came after and they gave the infaq and they fought, they also have a reward. And Allah has promised both groups al-husna. He has promised both groups good. He has promised both groups the paradise. So that's a distinction that's made by Allah Ta'ala in the Quran. Does anyone know what the fatḥ here is? What the fatḥ here is talking about? It's not the same, they're not equal, those who gave the infaq before the fatḥ and they made the muqatila before the fatḥ. Which opening is this ayah talking about? La. It's talking about the sulh of Al-Hudaybiyah. When the companions went to Mecca to make hajj and the kuffar prevented them from coming in. So the companions went under the tree and they gave the Prophet the bay'ah, radiallahu anhu. And Uthman was there in Mecca. And the Prophet put his hand over their hands and said, this is the hand of Uthman. After the Sulh of Al-Hudaybiyah, Suratul Fath was revealed. After the Fath of Mecca, Surah An-Nasr was revealed. So the ayat is talking about that. And there were 1,400 people who had went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that year to make the Hajj when they made the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. As it relates to the statement of Imam Ahmad Ikhwan, the companions of the people of Badr are better. First, the people from the Muhajireen, and then the people from the Ansar. Why did he pick or choose the people of Badr? Why are the people of Badr, the ones who participated in the war of Badr, they are the best of the companions after those people who were mentioned? Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Talha and Zubair and the rest of those people. Why the people of Badr? First of all, you all know about the hadith, Ikhwan, of Hatim ibn Abi Balta'a. He was a companion of the Prophet in Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah was making preparations to go to Mecca, or he was making preparations to go to Mecca to fight the people in Mecca. So this companion, Hatim, radiallahu anhu, he wrote a letter to the Kufar of Mecca to tell him, hey, Muhammad coming to get you. Get ready. So he helped the Kufar over the Muslims. Not over the Muslims like us, like a man taking his brother to court, a woman calling the police on her husband. You're just a regular Muslim. Even though your blood is a'zam indallah hurmatan min al-Ka'bah, as Abdullah ibn Umar said, but we're still regular Muslims. He helped the kuffar over the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He wrote a letter, hey, get ready to fight and kill the Muslims. Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and revealed to him, hey, Hatim ibn Abi Balta'a, he sent a message, he sent a letter. And it's with that woman who's writing. The Prophet sent Ali and Jafar, and they caught the woman and they told her, where's the letter? She said, I don't have a letter. Where's the letter? I don't have a letter. Ali said, you're going to give us that letter, we're going to take your clothes off. She said, okay, that's enough. This is as far as I can carry the amana. Here's the letter. You're not going to make me take my clothes off, because they had that kind of haya. When they brought the letter back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read it, the people read it. Umar radiallahu anhu stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, da'ni adrub unuqu. Let me chop his head off. فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. He's from the munafiqeen of Medina. He's from the people who are causing us all this problem. The most dangerous people on the ummah, the munafiqeen. He's from them. Is there a dalil, awdah, from what he did? Clearly he's from the munafiqeen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said to Umar, مَا يُدْرِيكَ يَا عُمَرْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ لَهُمْ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُ. Umar, how do you know he's a munafiq? It may be that Allah said, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala looked at the people of Badr, and he said to the people of Badr, do whatever you want. لَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. I have forgiven all of you. So who else has that reward? Why? Because the battle of Badr, Ikhwan, it wasn't no joke. And we ask Allah to have mercy upon our Shaykh from Egypt, who was the biggest scholar of the Maliki Madhab in Medina and in the world. Inshallah, his name was Muhammad Atiyah Saleh. He died a few weeks ago. Every year in Ramadan, on the 17th of Ramadan, he used to give a dars about what happened at the Battle of Badr and the fawaid of the Battle of Badr. And we have that tape. We want to give you that tape. You're talking about a tape that will raise your iman, the ramifications of Badr and the war of Badr and what took place. You have to hear this tape. So therefore, the people of Badr are superior. And first and foremost, the muhajireen from the people of Badr are better, and then the people of the Ansar. Why are the muhajireen better than the Ansar? The reason why the muhajireen have virtues in this religion over the Ansar is because they put together two of the wasps. Jama'u al-wasfain. The first reason is that the muhajireen made the hijrah. They left Mecca and they went to Medina. They left their money, their families and everything. Anyway, we didn't finish the story. When the Prophet asked Hatim radiallahu anhu, Ya Hatim, why did you send these people this letter? He said, Ya Rasulullah, from you and your companions, the people who made hijrah and came to Medina from Mecca, all of you have relatives back in Mecca who are looking out for his interests. His house, his money, his car. I don't have anyone back in Mecca looking out for my interest. So I felt if I wrote the letter, Quraysh, they'll look out for me. They'll remember what I did, because that's how the Arabs used to be. One hand washes the other hand. You look out for me, I'll look out for you. So that's why I did it. The Prophet accepted his excuse, which goes to show, ya akhi, if someone does a thing of kufr and he has a legitimate reason, he doesn't disbelieve. But in this particular issue, can we say that if you help the kuffar over the Muslims and something like that, that you have an excuse because you're going to use the same reason? La. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aqarrahu. Man aqarrak. But we don't put people outside of the religion, ikhwan, just because they do something of kufr, a disbelief. If a person today, he does something like that, he can't say, well, hatim, he did it, so I'm going to help the Muslims and I'm going to tell the kuffar about the weak spot of the Muslims. Because hatim did it, he wasn't considered a kafir, I'm going to do it the same way. We say, no, you can't use that qiyas. That is qiyas with the fariq, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he allowed hatim to do this. And no one has allowed us to do it. The other reason why the Ansar, the other wasp that the Ansar put together along with the Hijrah is the Nasr. The Muhajirin. Ahsan Allah ilayk ya akhi. They also were the Ansar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They protected him and they helped him in Mecca as well as Medina. Whereas the Muhajirin or the Ansar, while they were in Medina, they never had an opportunity to make the Hijrah. Another reason, ikhwan, is if you were to look at the Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala, all the time when He mentions the Muhajirin and the Ansar in the Qur'an, who does He put first? All the time, all of the ayat of the Qur'an, قَدَّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. And for those people who are going to make Hajj, when you're walking from the Kaaba, after making the seven tawafs around the Kaaba, and you pray two rak'ats behind the Miqam of Ibrahim, and then you go down and you drink the Zamzam water, and you make dua, and then you go back to the Kaaba, and you try to make the dua at the Multazim. And then after that, you go to Safa and Marwa. What did the Prophet used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabda'u bima bada Allah. We're gonna begin with what Allah began with. Meaning what? He said, inna Safa wal Marwa min sha'a'ir Allah. We're gonna go to Safa first. We're not gonna go to Marwa. So here we say, nuqaddimu man qaddamahum Allah. We're going to put first those who Allah put first in the Quran. Like in Surah At-Tawbah, there are a few ayats like that. Like the statement of Allah Ta'ala in the famous ayat that we all know. What's the ayat? وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. He called them what? الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. In another ayat, in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ. Allah has given His Tawbah. He has forgiven the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muhajirin and the Ansar, those people who followed Him in the difficult hour. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا هَؤُلَيْ هُمَ الْأَنصَارِ وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Those people who believe and they make hijrah and they make the jihad in the cause of Allah with their monies and their person, they have a greater reward with Allah and they are the fa'izun. Also, ikhwati, from the adilla, why the muhajireen are put before the ansar is also what happened after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, when they gathered together at the Saqifa of the Ansar, when the Ansar were about to choose for themselves the Khalifa. And then the news came to Abu Bakr and Umar and the rest of the ulama from the Muhajireen. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to them and he told them, what are you doing? And they explained, look, we're going to choose a Khalifa from the Ansar, and you people from Mecca, you choose a Khalifa. Let's have two heads here, two leaders. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to them, concerning the Ansar and the Muhajireen, he said, نَحْنُ الْأُمَرَىٰ وَأَنْتُمَ الْوُزَرَىٰ. We are the emirs, and you Ansar are the wazirs, or the ministers. Now, which in the Arab world, who's higher, the emir or the wazir?
The emir.
Huh? The emir, huh? Yeah. The malik, he has a son, for an example. The emir of the malik, he has more quwa than the wazir of the difa' if he wasn't the son of the malik. So the umara in al-Islam or in Arabic and to the Arabs, they're aqwa than the wuzara. The wuzara is the helper of the umara. So that's another clear proof to show that the muhajirin, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the muhajirin are better than the ansar. On top of that, ikhwan, undhuru. Look at the 10 people who were promised paradise. All of them are from the muhajirin. There's not a single person from the ansar. But make it known and let it be clear and let it be understood. This does not yunafi. This does not negate the fact that from the ansar are some people, many people who are better than some people from the muhajirin. That doesn't mean because a person is a muhajir. That's why Al-Imam Ahmed was saying, according to when he made the hijrah, according to when he accepted al-Islam, there are people from the Ansar who were tremendous in the scales. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ يَرْضَ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Al-Imam Ahmed went on to say, Ikhwan, then the most superior of mankind after these people are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ or the generation in which he was sent in. Everyone who accompanied him or was his companion, whether he was with him for a year, a month, a day, or an hour, he just saw him. This person, by virtue of the fact that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he is a companion. From the diqqa of the ilm of al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, there are different ikhtilafs and ta'rifat of the sahabi. Who is he? But the best ta'rif is the person who believed in the Prophet, who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laqiyahu wa amana bihi wa mata ala al-iman. That's the best ta'rif. Because it's shamil, it's jami', it's mundabit. It's not like a ta'rif if you say a companion is the one who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there were people who didn't see him. The companion is a person who met the Prophet. There were people who met him and then they irtaddu anil Islam. Like the husband Abdullah, the husband of our mother Ummu Habiba, when she went to Habasha, her husband Tanassara, he became a Christian and he died on Kufr. But he met the Prophet, even made Hijrah. After the Isra wal Mi'raj, people irtaddu. They left the religion. So the best ta'rif is the one who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amana bihi wa mata alal iman. Those three conditions. Al iman. The one who met him, believed in him, and he died on that iman. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, based upon that, he considered the Anbiya from the Ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they met him, and because they believed in him. But most of the scholars don't accept it because they didn't die believing in him, not knowing who he was, the tafasil of who he was. So the point that we want to make here is, as Al-Imam Ahmed is saying, Ikhwan, the people have been blessed. If you met him for a year, a month, or whatever, you're from his companions. But here, Al-Imam Ahmed should have mentioned something before he mentioned these people. And we're not making istidrak on Al-Imam Ahmed. وَمَنْ نَحْنُ كُلُّنَا مَعْ بَعْضٍ حَتَّى نَسْتَدْرَكْ عَلَى الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدٍ لَوْ اجْتَمَعْنَا لِذَلِكَ. لَا يُمْكِنْ يَا أَخِي. والله الإنسان يستحي من هذا الكلام. أنا أستدرك على الإمام أحمد. الإمام أحمد, he didn't mention the people that we mentioned already from the ayah, لا يستوي منكم. He didn't mention the people of the Bay'at al-Ridwan. The people who gave the Bay'at to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sulh of al-Hudaybiyah. Because they have virtues more than the person who just met him for a day or an hour or just saw him. Allah Ta'ala mentioned their issue in Surah Al-Fath. When he said, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah is pleased with the believers when they gave you the bay'ah under the tree. Those 1400 men who didn't want to go back to Medina. They said, no, I know, we know we don't have our weapons for jihad. All we have is our sword. But we didn't bring the rest of our things. But we want to go and march on Mecca to deal with them. And the Prophet didn't allow it. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why it's called the Fath. Because after that Bayat al-Ridwan, after the Sulh of al-Hudaybiyah, it had far-reaching implications that were in the maslaha of the Muslims. The Prophet said about the people who gave this bay'ah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, as Jabir ibn Abdullah narrated in the hadith that's been collected by an Imam Muslim, لا يدخل النار إن شاء الله من أصحاب الشجرة أحد الذين بايعوا تحتها. The Prophet said, he will not enter into the hellfire, anyone, inshallah, who gave the bay'ah under the tree. None of them are going to enter into the hellfire. That is a tazkiyah al-ilahiyah, huwa al-jannah. So they are better than the person who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the badiyah. The Bedouin comes from the badiyah, he uses the bathroom in the masjid, the people get ready to beat him up, the Prophet gives him some ta'leem, they clean up the bowl, akramakum Allah, he goes back to the badiyah, and he's better than the people who gave the bay'ah under al-Ridwan. La yumkin. They're not the same. So Al-Imam Ahmed should have brought that. Why he didn't bring it, Allahu Ta'ala knows best. Al-Imam Ahmed, ikhwan, he went on to say in this last issue, so the closest of the companions, although in excellence, is the generation that the Prophet was sent in. Even if they met, if someone meets Allah with all of the good deeds, he is not better than those people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in their presence. If any of us had the opportunity to do all of the good in al-Islam, we couldn't equal what the companions put forth. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, لَا تَصُبُّوا أَصْحَابِي فَلَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفًا. He said to us, do not curse my companions. For verily, if any of you was to give sadaqah the size of Mount Uhud in Dhahab, our brothers in Turkey who need help right now, or wherever they need help, if you were to give the sadaqah in the size of Uhud in Dhahab, that sadaqah would not equal a mudd. A mudd is when you get a handful of something, like you have dates or grapes, or zabib, raisins, if you put your hand like that, they call that a mudd. So the whole size of Uhud, if you were to spend it, fi sabilillah, it wouldn't equal one of those from the companions, or a half of that. Why? Because, akhi, the sadaqah that Abu Bakr and his and the other companions were given, radiallahu anhu, at that time, it allowed us to give what we're giving now. They were the people called to the huda that we're upon right now. So they get what they did and what you did as well. Even if you can give that dhahab, they get a reward in that because they help to defend, they help to call to, they help to establish. So the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't curse them. And that's why, ikhwan, it's a religious issue to hate people who are Shiite, who are Rafidi. If the person is ignorant, you should have some rahmah on them, try to explain, but we should have in our heart hate for people who curse those companions, people who haven't done anything. Also, on top of that, ikhwan, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, told us to protect his companions, as we mentioned the other day. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, ikhwan, he brought a statement of Al-Imam Ahmed in his book that is called As-Sadam Al-Maslul Ala Shatim al-Rasul. And what's that? That translates into the unsheathed sword on the person who curses the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason why he wrote that book was to explain to the Muslims in Asham during that time, there were a lot of Christians who were disbelievers who were cursing Islam and the Messenger of Islam. So he wrote this book in order to give the Muslims fiqh concerning this issue. What's the ruling of people who curse the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, a person who curses the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just like, he's in the same hukum of the person who curses the Messenger of Allah mubasharatan, directly. Why? Because they're the ones who brought the religion and who are examples of what he stood for. So he brought the statement of Al-Imam Ahmed. That Al-Imam Ahmed's opinion was, if someone curses the companion, he said, يضرب ضربا نكالا. That person's retribution, if he does that, is that he should be hit. You know, the hakim should hit him, the hidden, for a crime that he commit. But he used to didn't say that the person should get killed, nor if the person is a Muslim, he's a kafir. Any guy gave a nice talk in that book concerning that issue, about the opinion of Al-Imam Ahmed. The last thing that we want to mention in relationship to the last statement of Al-Imam Ahmed, he said, and whoever saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his eyes and he believed in him, even if it was only for an hour, this is more excellent on account of his companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than the tabi'een. This person is better than the tabi'een. And maybe we can't really, ikhwan, fully give this issue its just considerations. How is it to have the Messenger of Allah in your presence? Any time of the day, we can say amongst ourselves, Ya akhi, Abu Sara, hayya, linadhhab nuzuru Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's go visit the Messenger of Allah. Any ishkal, any mushkila, any just sitting in His presence, you're going to have your iman raised up. Wallahi, if we have our problems, our struggles, our jihad that we have right now, some of us, we religious and then we fall back, we religious. Just being in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ is going to raise our iman. As it happened with Abu Bakr and Anzala. Ya Rasulullah, إذا جلسنا معك وجدنا إيماننا يزيد. If we were with you, Ya Rasulullah, we are feeling like we are very righteous. But when we leave you, like us right now, we are very far away from them. We left them. We find that our iman goes down. So if a person is suffering from weak iman, da'af in his iman, all he has to do is go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to sit with him. Assalamu alaikum, Ya Rasulullah. Indaka shay al-yawm? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach you something about something. So those people were better. Anyway, they're better than the tabi'een if they only saw the Prophet for an hour. The Messenger of Allah, even if that tabi'een is from the greatest of the tabi'een, like Al-Hasan al-Basri, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, all of those tabi'een, none of them are better than the companions who saw the Prophet. The Messenger of Allah, in establishing the virtues of the companions and the tabi'een, he said on the authority of Wathila ibn al-Asqa, radiallahu anhu, لا تزالون بخيرا ما دام فيكم من رآني وصاحبني. والله لا تزالون بخير ما دام فيكم من رآ من رآني وصاحب من صاحبني. He said the good, the khair, will not cease to be with you people. As long as there are those people who saw me and they were my companions. رضي الله عنهم. And I swear by Allah, the good will not cease to be with you people as long as there are people who saw the people who saw me and they were the companions of the people who were my companions, meaning the tabi'een, radiallahu anhu. So the best of the tabi'een are not better than the companions. The best of the tabi'een, Abdullah Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, all of the tabi'een are not better than anyone from amongst the companions because he got an opportunity to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And that's what it is, Ya Abdullah, to be upon the minhaj al-salafi. To take this religion from those people. And even though there may be some deficiency in the persons and the personalities of the people who embrace and hold on to this fikr, to this understanding, let not anyone ever have a problem with the concept of the best Islam is the Islam of those companions. The only Islam is the Islam of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And with that, we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give us all the tawfiq upon this minhaj al-qayyim al-mubarak and to make us of those people who are true and word indeed. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum subhanaka lawma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.